Fries, no slaw. It is July 19th. We've taken a few weeks off, Richie, but we are back thanks to our friends over at Guthrie's Prize Picks, Tallahassee Ford, and more that we'll get into in just a moment. Couple week break, but we've had a lot of news this week. Florida State picks up a big commitment. FSU also at ACC kickoff. They make a hire for an assistant with Coach Norvell. And enough to talk about on this World Cup Sunday. Richie, I'm not really sad that the World Cup is coming to an end because it's been great. But there's a little part of me that has really enjoyed the, I don't know if distraction of the summer is a good word. Like, I wish there was, and there are things, like the Euros happen, Copa America happens, the Olympics will, you know, happen. But it is nice to have a little bit of a distraction, unless you're just like a baseball diehard. Sorry, Harlan. It's hard. Like, there's nothing else in the summer. It is nice to actually have something. So I'm happy for the way the World Cup has gone. I'm a little sad that the sports are going away. That football is 41 days away. So we are incredibly close to it. And Florida State will kick off week zero. But I've enjoyed the World Cup. Hopefully most other people have too.
Yeah, you know, the summer, it's really hit or miss, obviously, with sports. You know, you get the Home Run Derby every year, which is nice. But, you know, it's nice to have something like the World Cup that takes up two full months, right? You know, it's especially if you invest early on, which a lot of people did. I think that was smart. And, you know, coming from not a huge soccer fan like you, TJ, but we essentially got the 4-1 seeds in the final four of the World Cup. And now you have an all-time story, you know, hanging in the balance right now with Messi as an underdog going in at 39 years old with a chance to win. And obviously everyone is talking about that photo that's been going viral since really the World Cup started, but it's really resurfaced since this game. We knew this is what it was going to be. And also, don't sleep on the British Open. It might finish up here while we're on this show live. But that's been fun too, being able to wake up at any hour in the morning and watch major golf. So, you know, once we get through this weekend, it's really slim pickings, but we have camp starting very soon. So we basically made it through the summer, TJ.
We're almost there. We're almost back in Tallahassee for the week zero contest that the Seminoles will try to get off to a good start this year, like they did last year. So we'll see what can happen there. But Double Fries, No Slaw, brought to you by Guthrie's. You can visit all three of their locations in Tallahassee, 1818 West Tennessee, 2550 North Monroe, and 2870 Appalachie Parkway. I am working with them. I've talked with them a couple of times here recently about an event on Labor Day. I don't want to give away too much just yet, but about an event on Labor Day. Now, we've done tailgates in the past. We've had a ton of fun with those. This will be something similar, but something a little bit different. So, stay tuned for info on that. Everybody will be invited. We'll do something fun. Excited to potentially do some things with Tallahassee Ford when tailgates come around this year too. So stay on the lookout for all of that. But I saw Thorne say it's rigged. Messi will win. Do you have a pick? What is your heart? Like, who do you want to win, Richie? And who do you think will win?
So I want Argentina to win. I just think it's a great story. Just I think the debate's over when we're talking about soccer goats, but it just slams that door shut entirely. I really want Argentina to win. I really want to see a good game. But the one thing, my friends who are really into soccer, they keep telling me Spain's defense is just unreal. They play possession soccer, and it's going to be really difficult. But I'm not going to go against Messi. I'm going to say Argentina wins it in penalties. Why not?
Let's go. I like it. I want Argentina to win. I was lucky enough to take my daughter to the England match on Wednesday, which was like, I've talked before. Like, I've been really lucky to attend some of the sporting events that I've been able to attend. Obviously, FSU beating Auburn is way up there. I got to be at Kobe's last game, which was really, really special. And then I've just, you know, I don't know how many people remember specifically that night that the Rays came back from 7 down to make the wild card just moments after Boston lost. And it was game 162 in 2011. I was there for that. So I've been at some fun things. Like a World Cup semifinal where your team scores twice in 7 minutes after losing for most of the game. And then doing that with, you know, your daughter. And soccer is really the first thing she's kind of latched onto and enjoyed. I mean, she likes FSU, but a lot of that has to do more with, you know, Renegade and free popcorn and fireworks and everything. I don't know how much she cares about the actual game. The The World Cup was pretty special. So it's up there with, you know, some of the neater things that I've gotten to experience. And so, yeah, I'm the same as you. Like I want Argentina to win. I think they've got a chance. You're right about Spain's defense. They've given up one goal the entire tournament. That's ridiculous to think about. So I think Spain probably edges them out, but I also think that you can't count out one more round of Messi magic. So we'll see. Hopefully, you know, from my lips to God's ears. So, all right, let's roll with some actual football talk since you guys tuned in for FSU and we're, you know, on minute six of soccer at this point. So we'll try and keep this under 90 minutes so that you can go catch some pregame stuff if you will be watching it. Florida State lands a big time commitment. We've been down on recruiting for a long time, Richie. In this segment, we will say is presented by Prize Picks. More on them in just a moment. But Tayshaun Poole, a 2027 safety out of Macon, Georgia, Howard High School, can also play the nickel rover positions. Good size, 6'1", 6'2", 185, 190 pounds. Kind of just depends on which recruiting service you are favoring at that moment. A top 75 overall prospect nationally. He's a top five safety, a top six player in the state of Georgia, committed over both UGA and Tennessee. I saw UGA fans literally saying, did we really just get lockered by Mike Norvell? Everything we think about Mike Norvell, the rest of the college football world is not like blind to that. They're not dumb. And so they kind of know the status of Florida State right now, unfortunate as it may be. And I do think that anytime you can go up for a top 75 kid and beat out Georgia and Tennessee as finalists, and then also, he had interest from Clemson, Bama, Miami, several other national powers before he cut it down to that top three. I think that's a huge pickup for FSU. Look, we've been very down on a lot of things around this program. I think when they do things well, when there are legitimate wins to celebrate, we are going to take the time to do that. None of my thoughts have changed on the big picture problems with this program, but when they do things well, I think they deserve to be praised. Evan Cooper here at safeties coach certainly deserves a lot of praise here. This recruiting class is still not very good. It's like top 40-ish nationally. And so they got a lot of work to do, but this is a really good pickup. We talk about this all the time. I don't even know that I care so much about the rankings, a top 75 kid. I know that when there's a player that's top five or top six in Georgia and UGA is after them and Florida State lands the kid, I'm pretty happy about it. Now, I know what everybody will say in the comments. Yeah, you got to keep him until signing day, all those things. Does he end up signing? I don't know, man. I can't predict the future. I don't want to think about the future. I'm telling you, as of today, this is a really good pickup for the Noles.
Yeah, it's one of those things that it reminds you of the good old days in the summer for Florida State when, you know, recruiting is on fire. But yeah, to your point, whatever happens down the line, it doesn't matter. You got an elite kid, and we don't use that word lightly. He is truly an elite player. You got him to say yes, despite all the noise that's going on around the program right now. All there is to be negative about, and if you want to hear negativity, go back and watch our shows this summer. You know, we're not proud of it, but we have what we have to work with. But yeah, this was a really good pickup. And, you know, you can say Tennessee and Florida State, you know, Florida State should be a notch above them. But in recruiting prowess, Tennessee is really difficult to compete with. Any SEC school is. And you throw in Georgia, the success they've had, and realistically, they get who they want out of the state. Kirby's done a great job locking down the state of Georgia. And, you know, I don't know what the recruiting pitch was or what sold him on Florida State, but whatever it was, clearly it worked. And, you know, you can say whatever reason. I doubt Florida State's massively overpaying or anything like that. That it was just a good one-on-one or one-on-two recruiting battle that Mike Norvell and his staff went out and won. And you wish you would see a lot more of that, right? Because we probably having different conversations than we are. But for this specific one, to your point, TJ, Florida State fans, it's okay to celebrate. You know, it's when you feel like you have the worst of luck going against you in life and something good happens, you double take and say, wait a minute, is this really supposed to be happening to me right now? But this is a good win and take it. And, you know, the season's coming up and, you know, whatever you think, if you think we're going to go 2-10 or you're overly optimistic and thinking 10-2, none of us want to sit there for Saturday just miserable for 4 hours. You know, some people do. We want to see us win games. Well, this was a big recruiting win, and it's okay to celebrate it and be happy and say, you know what, this is something to build some positive momentum on. Who knows, maybe the season starts off better than some people expect, and it continues to build, but these are the pieces you need to start laying if this thing is going to get turned around.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about that. Like, we all have our thoughts about where the direction is, what is best for the program, where the direction, you know, where the program should head next. At the end of the day, every Saturday, well, I guess we only play eight Saturdays, but every time Florida State plays this year, I am going to want to feel the same way I did when we beat Alabama. I don't know how many happy moments there were during last fall, but I know that the Alabama game was the best day of my entire fall. Like, from that whole day to the night to waking up the next morning, that was like, now it did go downhill pretty quickly after that, like from a football perspective. But that day, like if I could relive that 48 hours again, I would do it without a doubt. It was the best day, you know, from August until, you know, whenever the season ended. Thank God it did. It was the best day that I've had that I can remember. I mentioned all those other games, you know, being at, that was a ton of fun. And so we're not going to get, I, you know, listen, you may hate Mike Norvell. You may not like him. You may not want him to be the coach anymore. I understand all of that. During the fall, I mean, you're going to want to win games. When we're back up there watching, you know, or if you're not going to Tuscaloosa with people that you care about and you love and you want to be with, then wherever you're watching the game, you're going to want to beat Bama. Right. Like, no, I don't think any serious fan would look at that and say, well, it's best for FSU if Mike sucks, so let's lose. No, I mean, you're going to want to win. And that translates the same. All of that said, translates the same to recruiting. Like, we need better players. At the end of the day, you can think whatever you want about this roster. You can think whatever you want about this staff. I don't think the players at Florida State are good enough. Clearly, Vegas doesn't, giving us a 6.5 win total. Clearly, the ACC doesn't, looking at where we rank within the ACC as far as projected order of finish. We need better players, and it starts here. And I've said many times, I think what would be best for Florida State is for Mike Norvell to eventually work out. I think it would be better for FSU if he was your coach for the next 10 years. I don't think that's feasible. I don't think that happens. But if you're going to have any chance of the best case scenario of him being a good coach from now until whenever, it does start with getting better players. You picked up a kid that's long, rangy. He's got a great frame. There's a reason that Georgia wanted him. I think he moves exceptionally well. I think he's incredibly physical. When you watch his tape, he's not afraid to come up and play in the box. I do think that his experience on offense lends itself to pretty natural ball skills. When you just look at his overall athleticism, I truly do think he's one of the better athletes in this 2027 class. I, again, don't care so much about the ranking. Top 75, still great for sure, but a kid who is very physical, takes good angles, diagnoses plays very well, and you can see what an elite safety does for a defense. Like, they are your center fielder, right? Like, they're the guy back there that is changing defenses, and it kind of sees it all in front of them. Obviously, every position group is important, from defensive line creating pressure to linebackers filling holes and kind of diagnosing things. Secondary is really important too. I mean, look at what a player like a Caleb Downs or a KJ Bolden or a Derwin James, to take it back to FSU, does for a defense. It's a ton. I think he's a kid that could come in and play quickly. Again, have problems with the amount of talent on this roster, or lack thereof, however you want to look at it. But I do think that he's a kid that could come in and make a difference for you right away. Now, if there are coaching changes, if there are just pushes from other programs who you beat out for this initial commitment, yeah, things could change. But if he ends up signing with Florida State, whether that's under this coaching staff or another coaching staff or whatever, I think that's a big pickup. And this is the kind of player that Florida State needs to be bringing in more of. I don't think we have enough difference makers. There are some on the roster. Love Chroma, love Deuce Robinson. I love Jabril Rawls. Obviously, the Desir twins are huge. There are some, But we need more players like this. When Florida State's at its best, they're bringing guys in that fit this athletic profile, and this is a huge win for FSU. Now, you got to do a lot of work to keep him. There's no doubt, because if the season goes like many expect, if Georgia and Tennessee season go like they think about, it's going to be tough. And then you've got to invest financially. Florida State obviously had to do that to get his commitment. You've got to continue to invest as the Wolves come lurking. But overall, really good news for the Seminoles.
Yeah, and I think that's where it starts and ends, right? For if you're looking at just the one pickup, you know, we mentioned the class. TJ does a ton of work on recruiting, you know, on a weekly basis. But for this one pickup, which is kind of what we're focusing on right now, it's huge for Florida State. And, you know, there's no way to downplay it. You know, you could, I guess, find a way to, but I'm not going to listen. And I think most rational people would not listen to that. I think this is just a very good get for Florida State. And, you know, in today's college football, you mentioned, you know, defensive backs are typically a dime a dozen, but not like this one. And I think that's kind of where the difference is. So it's just a solid piece to build on. And whether Mike's here or not in the future, you can keep a kid like this, it's a lot easier to keep a kid on your roster than it is to, you know, go to the portal and try and find a replacement for someone like this. So I think, you know, you have to be satisfied with this specific pickup and what it does for the class as it is. Again, he's already one of your top commits in the class right now, immediately. And, you know, if things do start off good this season, he's the type of player that kids will pick up the phone and listen to. There's nothing that says a three-star can't end up being an elite player down the line. But in a recruiting class, other top commits want to play with other top players, and they're more likely to pick up a phone call from a, you know, top 100 kid going to Florida State than, you know, a three-star who's, you know, might be a great piece to the class. But, you know, you have a lot more capital when you have kids like this making calls on your behalf if you're Mike Norvell as you try and fill out this class.
Yeah, without a doubt. A good pickup for FSU. Recruiting still needs to improve, still needs to get better. But today I'm not too upset with the win, and hopefully other people aren't either. Hopefully they kind of understand that this is really good for the Seminoles. Let's give Prize Picks some love. Richie, let's pick some for the World Cup, and then we'll talk a few more things and move on. Prize Picks, where all new users get $50 instantly after setting a $5 lineup using code HMA. The World Cup final today at 3 p.m. Eastern, just about an hour and a half from now. Messi's attempted passes. This is juiced way down. We're not picking this. Just I'm going to tell you, it's a free play. His attempted passes is at 0.5. It's kind of like when they put LeBron at more or less than 1 point scored, or Patrick Mahomes at more or less than, you know, half a yard passing. So go get the free play. We'll pick a couple of the other ones, though. Lamine Yamal, Spain's kind of wonder kid, Barcelona player, 0.5 shots on target. I'll give you some stats really quickly. Against France, he had 0, but against Belgium, he had 2. Against Portugal, he had 2. Against Austria, he had 4. So a guy that does get plenty of shots on target, did not get a ton his last game, more or less 0.5. Richie?
I'm going to say more, and I think I know the answer, but for someone who like me who probably doesn't know for certain, or others listening, I'm assuming PKs, if it comes to it, that would not count as a shot on target, correct?
Correct.
CJ shaking his head, yes. So, all right. Either way, yeah. With or without it, I'm going to say more on this one.
Yeah. Nothing in PKs counts. Extra time does count for these stats, though. Some of these kind of daily fantasy situations only count the first 90 minutes. Extra time or overtime for our American friends does count for this. So he can pick it up there. I'll take more as well. I think he at least takes one. You know, even if it's just a free kick outside the box, he'll get one on target. A shot on target, again, we'll do a little teaching lesson here, is something that is on frame that the goalie saves. So if somebody else is standing in front of the goal because the goalie's out of position and blocks it away, it technically doesn't count as a shot on target. It counts as a block. But anything the goalie saves typically is a shot on target. If something is going wide and the goalie still knocks it away, but it wasn't going to go in or didn't have a chance of going in, that would not be a save or a shot on target. Messi, more or less 0.5 goals plus assists. So if he gets a goal or an assist, you get it more or less 0.5.
More.
Yeah, I'll take the more here. For them to have any chance, he's got to have a goal or an assist. He's the creator. He's the playmaker. It's going to happen like that. Enzo Fernandez, who had the game tying goal against Spain, 0.5 shots, does not need to be on target. Just any shot could be 30 yards away, but if he shoots it towards the goal and it's clearly not a pass, it will count.
And it does not need to be on target, correct, for this one?
Correct. Any shot at all, it could be blocked. It could be blocked where he could kick it right into the leg of a defender.
I feel like I need to take an under, but I'm going to go more on this one as well.
Yeah, this is a pretty easy one for me. He will take a shot at some point. So I do like that one a ton. Lamine Yamal, 28.5 passes attempted.
I have no idea, TJ. I said I need to take a less, so I guess this will be it. Actually, you know what? Let's go 4 for 4. I'm going to say more on this one as well. Why not? I have no idea. That's based on nothing. Just saying more.
I like the less on this one, but he has been passed. I'm going to take the less just because I've taken too many mores. And then last one, Lamine Yamal shots total. 3 is the number. So 3 is a push. You just get your bet back. But more or less 3.
Let's make it 5 for 5. I'll just say more across the board and hope it 3 of them hit. And we'll ride that out. That is my official strategy. Do not waste your money on my strategy if you are listening to this.
I will take the less on this one. But I think he gets exactly 3, so that's why. But anyway, Prize Picks, go check it out. Last day of the World Cup, go check out your $50 bonus when you set a $5 lineup using code HMA. Richie, Mike Norvell at ACC Kickoff was, I don't know, just a ton of coach speak. There were a couple of things out of ACC Kickoff that I kind of thought were noteworthy. The big quote that everybody ran with Mike Norvell this week was that he said he doesn't fear losing. Obviously got some pretty good memes and trolls off of that. Folks just saying, yes, we understand you do not fear losing. But he did say, I don't fear losing. I fear regret, having regret. I'll say this, all memes and jokes aside, I do think that he is incredibly consistent, right? I think that whether you love that or hate that, he shows up with the same effort and intensity every day and does his very best to try and propel this program forward. I think he's failed at that a lot, unfortunately. But I do think he truly believes that. I also think he has a $50 million safety net that, you know, if he does fail again, he does pretty well for himself, but I do think he is trying. Now, trying doesn't really matter a whole lot. It's a success and results that matter, but I think he is telling the truth there. I don't think he's worried about failing. I think he's working every day as hard as he can to try and get this thing going back in the right direction. And listen, for all the faults, I think I can appreciate that.
Yeah. Imagine just your general guy like me or you who, you know, but we keep getting written up at work nonstop and everyone's telling us how horrible we're doing. And you come home to your wife and she's like, are you afraid about losing your job? But we have $50 million guaranteed coming to us. My answer would be no as well. I'm good. Doesn't matter. But to your point, he is very consistent. And I think, you know, with the ACC media days that, you know, a lot of it to me is, you know, who is the audience that the coach is trying to reach? Because some years, you know, you're trying to get, you know, create a narrative in the media, right? You if you think you're going to have playoff aspirations, you might be on that brink. You're going to maybe hype up your entire conference. And, you know, you're not talking to the fans. You're not talking to your players. I think Mike Norvell knows nobody's listening to him except for maybe his players right now. And I think that's the message he's bringing every day when they go to workouts, when practice starts. I think everything he says, whether it be publicly or privately about this team, his message is to the players. He knows he's not going to get any fans that have jumped off ship back on board with what he says in Charlotte at the ACC media days. He knows the national media narrative. None of these national guys are going to show up and talk to him and be like, you know what? I thought Florida State was going, 4-8, but I talked to Mike Norvell in Charlotte. I think they're going 8-4 now. It's just, he understands that. And I think his message is clear. You know, these players, especially in the digital age that we live in, they are paying attention to what he says at events like this. Players want to see, does my name get mentioned on ESPN because my coach mentioned my name, or what message is he trying to send to the players? And I think that's kind of the mentality he came in. It may not have been intentional because that's kind of how he always has been, at least during his time at Florida State. But I think that's really it. You know, he has nothing to gain or lose no matter what he says. What is he supposed to say? Like, if typically the sports information director will give a list of talking points to a coach and say, hey, we really want to hit on this heading into the season, or, you know, focus on this because that, you know, we can kind of spin this narrative. There's no spinning any narrative if you're Mike Norvell right now. Just go out, say what you think, and I think that's what he did. Some people might call it boring. I think it was just Mike being Mike, and I have no problem with how he handled himself in Charlotte.
Yeah, at the end of the day, you're exactly right. There's nothing, it's almost like a lose-lose situation, you know? There is nothing he could say that would satisfy this fan base. And really, it's not just Mike, it's anyone in this situation. There is, and really, I've had this conversation. I think media days are a little overblown because we have access to these guys so much now in today's, you know, social media climate. I think media days are a little bit overblown just in general, but there's nothing Mike Norvell could say that would make you feel any better. And by the same token, I don't think there's anything Kurt Cignetti or Mario Cristobal or Steve Sarkisian or Kirby Smart could say that would make you feel any better, right? Like, there's some excitement around certain programs, but like, man, I think we're all very aware that this is a results-oriented business. And so days like Media Day are a lose-lose for Norvell. Like, you know, there's nothing – he didn't do anything wrong. He didn't piss anybody off, I don't think. But I do think – I mean, I don't know, the way we're so negative, maybe he did piss some people off by just, you know, going and showing up to the
showing event. Up, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it's a lose-lose. Like, there's nothing he's going to say that's going to make anybody feel better. We all understand this is a results-oriented business. Get out there this year and prove that this team is worth a damn. I think that's what most people care about. That's what most people want to see. And, you know, then we'll judge after that. What you say in Charlotte at a hotel in July doesn't really matter, right? Put your money where your mouth is and go win games. One thing I did find interesting, Deuce Robinson got a lot of, you know, just hype and excitement, and obviously was on the list to potentially win ACC Player of the Year. Like, he didn't win that, but he was a nominee for it. I do wonder with Deuce, his excitement with the team, and I think this is kind of where you have to read between the lines. You know, his just boldness and excitement on how good he thinks this team is going to be, I do think is somewhat encouraging. Now, I am not changing a prediction on, oh, shoot, I think we're all of a sudden going to win 9-10 games. Like, that's not what I'm saying. But, like, he, like, doubled and tripled and quadrupled down on, man, we're going to be really good. And just wait. Just have patience. Just have faith in us and know that we're going to get there. I feel like when players on a team, there is some of that that you do have to kind of write off and say, like, dude, you're biased, right? Like, and we're biased, right? Like, you know, whether we're pro or negative, like, everything that's happened over the last several years has made us biased to believe what we believe. I do think there's part of it that you can say, like, dude, it's like, man, you're in those meetings. Of course you're going to go to bat for your guys. But when you, like, triple down on it and you, like, are making guarantees and stuff like that out there, like, it does give me a little bit of optimism because I do respect who Deuce is as a competitor. Obviously, I respect how much talent he has and I respect how good he is. I mean, he is thought of as one of the top 10-ish wide receivers in the country. And when somebody like that who understands where we're at, right? Like, when he grew up watching FSU, well, when his dad was playing and stuff, we weren't very good. But, like, when he grew up watching FSU, well, I guess we won 10 games that year, sorry. But, you know, shortly after that, we weren't great. He understands what the standard is. He understands where we've been the last couple of years. For somebody like that to, like, double and triple down, it felt like more than just going to bat for your guys. And it did give me just a slight amount of optimism that, man, we did play in a lot of one-score games last year, and we were really close at times. And, you know, I think we got in against Stanford. And if a couple of punts don't go the wrong way against NC State, maybe you pick up that one too. And you did take Virginia, who was in the ACC championship, to double overtime. And so it does make me think, like, if every break that went against Florida State last year would have just gone their way, maybe they do find their way to, like, 7 or 8 wins and we're not as miserable as we are. Because, it, you know, if they'd have won 8 games last year, Richie, we'd feel different right now. Like, we still may not feel great about the future, but it does give me a little bit of confidence that maybe things are slightly better than I expect.
Yeah, and I think this is where I'll give Mike some credit here. I think, you know, keeping Deuce on your roster was bigger than any portal get you could have got outside of a game-changing quarterback. Right. I think keeping him on your roster, people forget that this is free agency. He could be playing somewhere else. And there's plenty of the at least minimum 125 schools of the 130 plus schools would have gladly said, absolutely guaranteed starter. You're probably our number one. He's that good. So getting him back. And I think what they did to sell him, they said, listen, they probably didn't come out and say right up, like, listen, you're not going to win a conference, you're not going to win a national title, but we're going to put you in position to get drafted as highly as possible. And I liked how Mike Norvell did talk about how he plans to use Deuce in different ways this year, moving him around the field. And I think they've done a good job selling him on what he can be, and he's pumped up and taking that ownership, and hopefully he becomes the leader that this team needs. It's not often you have a wide receiver be, you know, the leader in the locker room, but, you know, the way he carried himself in Charlotte, and with his ability, people are more, it goes back to the recruiting, what we just talked about in our last discussion, TJ. The team is more likely to gravitate towards the best player. And if he's on board, it's easier to get everybody on board. When someone goes into a new job and the department they're taking over is a mess or whatever it is, you find your highest performing employee and you get them to buy in, and others will buy in afterwards. And I think that's kind of what we're seeing. And I think Mike understands that these are the little things he has to do. You have a guy like Deuce Robinson, who should be a first-round pick in the NFL draft next year. Use him, hype him up, make him say, look, I'm selling you on what you can be. And he understands that if Deuce is what he could be this year, and he keeps that same attitude we saw this past week, other players are going to fall in line, and it could lead to some positive outcomes on the field this season.
The last thing I wanted to note from ACC kickoff, actually, I think I just lost it. There was one more thing. Oh, yeah. I was talking to somebody else about this. Somebody who I like a lot, but we butted heads on this just a little bit. Jimbo came out and said that he's interested in getting back into coaching. So what I want to know from you is how many times will we talk about Jimbo Fisher as the next head coach of Florida State? Like, I'm not telling you I think this happens, and not to piss off anybody who's watching this or listening, but do you think that that's going to be something? You remember how much we talked about Deion at one point? Are we going to just sit here all season and talk about Jimbo too?
I think it's possible. I'll say this. It's impossible to create a coaching hot board for Florida State without Jimbo Fisher on it, at least the initial one. I think he probably does want to get back into coaching, and I think he probably would absolutely listen if Florida State came calling. Now, we're not firing Mike Norvell today on July 20th, 2026. So we're not putting that out there.
Last year doing that.
Yes. But if the job does open, Jimbo's name will absolutely be, at the top of the list, at least in terms of what people are talking about, whether it be the media, fans, whoever it may be. And we can have that debate further if whether we want him, whether we don't, whether it's realistic. I think if Florida State really wants Jimbo, they can have him. I'll say that much. But we're a long ways away from that. But yeah, with every loss that comes this season, you know, and especially with Jimbo's presence now, especially around the ACC, you're going to have his name pop up, and we're going to see him on our TV all year long as we're consuming coverage on Florida State football. It's just natural. It's not going away. So the elevated talk of Jimbo in Florida State, it may have resurfaced a little bit this week in Charlotte at the media days. It's not going away when the season gets here. And as I said, with every loss Florida State has, and there will be a couple at least, guys, even the most optimistic fans can say that, and we start saying what other coaches are out there, you're not going to find a bigger name than that that's realistic. I'm not saying he'd be the best option. I don't think he would be personally, but you will not find a bigger name. And in a world where a lot of people are trying to sell subscriptions and clicks, you're going to be Jimbo Fisher fatigued by the end of October, probably, if you're a Florida State fan.
Here's my final take on Jimbo. So I don't want to, I literally just got cussed out for bringing this up on a text, but you did too, just to let you know, just for us both having that. The only person that was safe today was Harlan. So, but Harlan wants him too. So, don't let him skate by. Here's what my final take on Jimbo. I would be okay with Jimbo if we struck out on like our top 3 to 5 candidates. Like if we tried to get, a promising coordinator and that guy went somewhere else, or we tried to make a big splash, Lincoln Riley gets, parts ways with USC and then somebody else hires him in the SEC or something like that. And then we, try to go get Manny Diaz, and for some reason Duke ponies up a crap ton of money and he doesn't come home. I think Manny would come. We're not ready on Brian Hartline. I don't know, man. Like if you struck out on 4 or 5 guys, then that's where I think it would make sense to just bring in somebody who's stabilized. I think Jimbo's best days are behind him. I don't think he would be an elite coach here. I think he could get you back to a level of respectability from 8 to 9 wins on a yearly basis. And that might be the stability that Florida State needs as they look for another head coach. Rarely does the perfect marriage of bringing a coach back, rarely does it work. And so I am not in the Jimbo camp by any means. All of that said, if you were asking me who I wanted to coach this team this year between Jimbo Fisher and Mike Norvell, I would take Jimbo 10 out of 10 times. But I don't know that I think he is the the best for the future. So Harlan, you just got cussed out too. So there's 3 for 3 on the show. Let's give Tallahassee Ford a little bit of love, and then we will move on to an interesting hire that Florida State just made. So Tallahassee Ford, we appreciate them for all of their support. Harlan, I don't even know if I have a B-roll up or not or anything, but this is fine. If not, make sure you are checking them out. My buddy Bill McKinney has a podcast over there, Revved Up with Bill McKinney. Of course, if you are in the market for any kind of a vehicle, make sure you call them. They will deliver it to you, so you don't have to go in. If you're in the Tallahassee area, you'll deal with one person the entire time you're in the store. You don't have to get transferred to a salesperson and then a finance person and then run around with 8 different people. They do an incredible job. I hate advertising like the idea of like you won't beat their prices, but I promise you, you really won't. Like, just look at their website compared to any other Ford dealership out there, and you really will find better prices, great selection, and really good people to work with. We'll do some tailgate stuff with them this year. So even if you're not in the market for a car or truck, come by and get some free food and drinks on them. So no complaints there. Last up today. Oh, no. We have a power or a ranking here in just a minute. But here's a good endpoint for you, Harlan. Florida State makes a hire of Tom Herman, former Texas coach, former Houston coach, former Ohio State offensive coordinator, national champion there, former FAU coach. A mixed bag there. Highs and lows at all of those places. Some highs to start and then some pretty low lows at Texas and FAU as well. He sounds like he'll be a special assistant to the head coach. I think this is an interesting role. It's interesting timing. I listened to Jeff Cameron, who I do think is the GOAT when it comes to talking about FSU, from ACC Kickoff, and he talked a little bit about this. Sounds like Tom Herman, and then I also spoke with Zach Smith about this the other day. Had some online conversations and then some offline conversations too, if you remember some of the drama around Tom Herman and Zach Smith. If you don't, just Google both of their names, and that's a fun little trip down memory lane if you're not doing anything this Sunday. But a mixed bag here. Richie, before I go too far, I want to get your thoughts on that as it happened.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's still a big name in college football, right? You know, a former head coach, and obviously, you know, made a lot of noise. You know, everywhere he's been, people thought he was the Brian Hartline, right, at one time when he was at Ohio State. He was that highly regarded, and I don't think, you know, some of the missteps or things that haven't worked out the way he had hoped, you know, his knowledge of the game has not changed because of that, right? If anything, he's got more experience. I don't have a problem with the hire. I think people need to pump the brakes. I saw several fans, not just a few, saying, oh, this is it, you know, just Florida State getting ahead of things for when Mike's gone. They're just going to elevate Herman. I don't think that's what's going on here. You know, it's I don't see anything negative that can come from this, right? And you can say, well, you know, talk about a little baggage here or there. It doesn't matter, right? If things fall apart this year in Tallahassee, you know, he might be a part of it. He's not going to be the headline of the story, right? The headline's going to be Mike regardless. And if he's someone who can come in, I did find it interesting that he said that he'll be helping on the defensive side of the ball as well. Yeah. That was it really intriguing to me as he's strictly been an offensive-minded coach. But I have no problem with it. I don't think it really does any favors for Florida State in terms of, it's not a huge net positive is what I'm trying to say, because Florida State, you know, for Mike Norvell, all the missteps he has had the past few years, the knowledge of the game's not the problem. Mike Norvell's a really good coach. He just hasn't been a great head coach since 2023. But when it comes to the knowledge of the game, I think Norvell's fine. I don't know what Herman can necessarily add. But I'm not against the hire either. I'm very indifferent, which is kind of the you know, the cop out way to look at it. But that's honestly was my thoughts. I'm like, okay, big name. You know, it's going to be in the news for 24 hours. We're going to talk about it on here. All Florida State platforms and outlets are going to talk about it. But for me, it doesn't really move the needle. I if we're talking wars at like baseball, win above replacement, it's a zero for me. It's not a net positive or a negative. that's cool. Like Tom Herman's going to be at Florida State this year. It's kind of like the Kendall Briles hire. Like we try to convince ourselves that was a huge deal. Also a Broyles Award winner who Willie brought in, and we thought the offense would explode. And for one half against Boise State, boy,
it did it explode.
But it was not, I mean, I was ready to hire Broyles or excuse me, Briles as a head coach at halftime in that Boise game. But yeah, it's, I actually, if I had to say I like it or don't like it, I like the hire. If you're going to make me pick, I just don't see it making any difference whatsoever in the 2026 football team.
I think there could be, so this is what Zach Smith said. Mike Norvell's problem, Herman is a great offensive mind. There's no doubt. The problem with this team and program right now is not that we don't know how to coach players. Like, for all of Mike Norvell's failures and faults that you want to point out over the last couple of years, the problem is not that he forgot how to coach college football. Like, he, you know, you mentioned, you know, Kendall Briles, and you mentioned Tom Herman, and you mentioned some of these other names that were the up and coming group of five guy. Mike Norvell was that guy too. Like, let's not forget, like, there was a reason he was sought after and wanted at Florida State. He had done incredible things at Memphis. He had done great things at Arizona State offensively. He brought a proven track record of offense, and that is what made Memphis successful. And he didn't just, you know, the snub didn't happen, and then it's like the Men in Black pin where that, you know, you forget how to coach college football. I don't think Mike Norvell's a bad coach per se. I don't think he forgot how to coach offense. I don't think our problem now, are there things that I wouldn't personally do? Are there fourth down decisions or, you know, what? Sure. Right. Like, you're going to have quips with Texas has that with Steve Sarkisian. Right. And so, yeah, every coach, Ryan Day, Ohio State, if they had just run the ball in the first half against Miami, they'd have won the game. Right. Instead of trying to throw it so much. Every coach is going to have that. I don't think Mike Norvell and Florida State's problem is that they don't know how to call plays or that they don't know how to use offensive personnel. I think the talent at Florida State's not freaking good enough. Like that's what it comes down to. We don't have good enough players. And so does Tom Herman fix that? Like, does Tom Herman come in and just automatically make that better? No, right? Like, your roster is still your roster. I don't think a guy getting here 40 days before the season starts really makes that big of an impact. Where I think it can help is I've heard Mike Norvell spends upwards of 6 to 8 hours a day on offensive install. And with a new offensive coordinator, with Tim Harris not having Gus Malzahn on there, I think Mike was going to spend a crap ton more time on offensive install, which is something that Gus kind of was able to relieve him of, and he was able to maybe help in other areas. That's something I think Tom Herman can help with on the offensive side of the ball. Does that buy you any more wins? I don't know. I don't think so. Like, Vegas didn't change the win total because you brought in an assistant. They wouldn't have changed the win total had you brought in an elite offensive coordinator. I do think that there could be some, like, fringe positives. And if his seeing things or just being another strong voice can help in certain situations, we'll never know of that. Like, we'll just see guys that go out and execute. But could there be situations where his voice in the room helps and that's behind the scenes and we never heard about it, or he adds a wrinkle that helps you turn a one score loss into a one score win? Sure. And we'll never know one way or the other. Like, I mean, unless Mike just gets to the podium and says, hey, Tom Herman saw something this week and we implemented it and that's why we won the game, which very well could happen. I mean, but you're probably never going to know about it, right? Like, those guys, the coaches do a good job of just giving the players credit. Where I think there could be concern is exactly what you just mentioned with the other side. And Mike admitted this, and then Jeff talked about it afterward. The defensive side of the ball. I don't know. I thought Tony White would leave after last year. Like, I didn't think he'd be back again this year. And I do have some excitement about it being year two of the system and guys being a little more comfortable and the defense hopefully being stronger, because last year it sucked for a lot of the season. Against anybody with a pulse, it honestly was pretty bad. The idea of, like, another strong alpha male voice in the room that people are having to now hear two different voices of Tony White saying, hey, I want to do this, and then Tom Herman as an assistant coming in and trying to course correct a little bit, like, hey, I wouldn't do that because here's my, you know, thoughts on what you should do offensively. Like, I do think that could create some strife, some frustration, some internal turmoil or whatever. Like, I think that's a danger. But at Florida State right now, you have to take risks. Like, your back is up against the wall if you're this staff. And you've got to try things that are creative. And bringing in Tom Herman to help the defense is a crazy angle to think that they're taking. But you've got to take risks. And you can't just play it safe and say, hey, we'll see what happens. Let the chips fall where they may. So I do think it has the ability to turn into that. And I think losing, which hopefully they don't do, but I think losing only compounds that. If you're winning and things are going well, everybody's pretty happy. Everybody's happy-go-lucky. You feel great. If you start to lose, I could see it kind of going off the rails. So I think there's good and bad that can come from it. At the end of the day, I don't think it changes things a whole heck of a lot. I do think there's a chance he could become the interim if Mike gets fired midseason. People mention Odell, which is very fair to mention. I don't even know if Odell would want that role. You know, he might, but I don't know what his, you know, end of the road kind of foresight is on that. Tony White could potentially want that for sure. Tim Harris, just keep it offensive, could want that. Who knows? But I think Tom Herman would make a lot of sense from that perspective. I don't think that's why he was brought in, but it certainly could make sense. You've got another head coach type figure who can just ride it out through the end of the year. At the end of the day, if a coach gets fired midseason, I don't really care who the interim is. I would probably vote Odell if he wanted it just because I like Odell, but I don't think it really matters. I don't think that changes the win total, whether it's Tom Herman or Mike Norvell or whatever. Once the season is lost, once it's off the rails, which again, hopefully it doesn't get there, I don't think the interim matters. It's kind of like just get us to December and let's see who we're hiring. So any final thoughts on Herman and we'll move on.
No, I don't think so. And same thing. Yeah, it's one thing. It's not like there's a coach on this roster that you would think, oh, it potentially the next coach where the team would rally around him. This isn't a Michigan Moore type situation where, you know, let's rally around, get him a big win and he'll take over. No, it's again, fairly indifferent, but who knows? If nothing else, it gives us more to talk about. And who knows, maybe, you know, there's a big play against Alabama and that game's closer than most people think. And even Norvell comes out and says, yeah, you know, Herman dialed that one up for us. And I don't know, just trying to think here, TJ, but yeah, it's, we'll see what happens. But hey, again, it doesn't hurt.
I won't complain either way. Right. I'm a complain free week this week. So we've got about an hour until kickoff of the World Cup final. So Richie, finish us off with some blind rankings today.
Yeah, so to keep it on theme with the ACC Media Days, TJ, and
I thought we were going World Cup. That's a complaint.
We're not going World Cup. I quit. If I knew, I gave you a World Cup soccer themed one when it started, and TJ is gone. I just wanted to look back and, you know, obviously, shout out, I forget who it was in the comments talking about Doozy on the comment he made. I'm assuming alluding to the ACC being a better conference than the Big Ten, which is laughable. So not all of these quotes, TJ, are from Media Days. And we're expanding to all of college football for this, so this won't be ACC only. But within the past 15, 20 years or so, just head-scratching quotes or quotes that you just thought and said, what, when a coach said it? And I'll let you rank them as you see fit as far as the most head-scratching, why would he say that type situation?
So one is the craziest is what we're
going one to. Is like either he had no business saying that or what was he even trying to say type situation.
Let's roll.
All right. So we'll start one. Do you want the name of the coach before or after the quote?
Let's see if I can rank them. I want to guess them. Let's just have fun, man. Like, so, let's see if don't tell me.
All right. So you'll definitely know the first one. And it is the Lord's Day. So this quote is in regards to NIL.
Is it? Yeah. Yeah. Dabo. You don't have to read the quote. I know it's Dabo.
Dabo Sweeney said, "We built this program on NIL. Probably different than what you're thinking, though. We built it on God's name, image, and likeness."
Listen, I know you're going to pull out something really crazy, but like this is deserving of a one. Like to literally take like paying players and say that we built this on God's name, image, and likeness is the most ridiculous. And I like Dabo and I like God. Like I like both those things, but like, it's just the most ridiculous thing that I think I've ever heard a coach say. So I can't believe I'm going to do this. There's going to be something else crazy in here that's going to ruin me, but I'm going one. I could not believe he said that. Like, even for Dabo, that felt like too much of a – I can't believe I'm doing one on this, but yeah, one.
Yeah, it makes bring your own guts seem like just a casual conversation.
Correct, at that point. Yes.
All right, so the next one, this is a coach after a loss. Changes in history usually occur after some kind of catastrophic event. It may be 9/11, which sort of changed the spirit of America relative to catastrophic events. Pearl Harbor kind of got us ready for World War II, and that was a catastrophic event.
It could be any conference. This is not just ACC.
This is any conference.
Okay. I have no idea who said this. What is it? It's a big time coach or is it somebody small?
Very big time coach. This is a little older one. This one, I'll tell you the year. It's 2007.
I mean, I can't believe he'd say something like this, but I'll guess Saban.
Nick Saban after losing to ULM.
Okay, that's the only reason why because you said 07. I knew they struggled in 07. They lost to Alabama A&M. Okay, that's up there too. Gosh, that's crazy to bring up 9/11. And Pearl Harbor because you lost a freaking football game. I'll go 3 on this one. That's crazy. That could be 1 or 2 as well. Like, I get it. We're emotional about football games, but God help me if I ever bring up freaking 3,000 Americans dying on 9/11 because my team lost a freaking football game. Two. No, I'm going 2.
The crazy thing is, CJ, Alabama fans probably heard that and like, this is way worse than 9/11.
Yeah, for real. What are you talking about? That is insane. I can't believe he said that. And I can't believe, I mean, of all the people, like if Les Miles would have said that or Ed Orgeron or something crazy, like, whatever. Saban saying it? Oh, I bet he wishes he could wipe that away.
All right. So unless you remember this, you probably won't get this, coach, but this is the next quote. And this is specifically when he was questioned about concussion protocol. He says, I fear the game will be pushed so far to one extreme that you won't recognize the game 10 years from now. And I do believe that if it gets to that point, that our country goes down too.
Gosh. I don't have any real strong guess here. I feel like this list would be incomplete. And so I'm kind of calling you out if you didn't do this. I feel like the list would be incomplete without a Mike Leach quote, and I know he's had some crazy ones, but I'll just go Mike Leach here. I really have no idea, though.
Yeah, so this is in the ACC. That was actually Larry Fedora at North Carolina.
What a stupid comment. This one, but a country going down, I don't know. This one doesn't have the shock factor of the other two, so I'm going completely other end. I'm going 5 on this one.
All right.
It's crazy. It's not that crazy. Like, it's a little crazy, but the first two were so bad that this one feels like a walk in the park.
All right, so this one is from a media days a few years back, within the last 10 years or so. This was after a player got a DUI for this team during the summer. And there was this is the coach explaining why that player did not get a suspension for his DUI. He says, I thought, really? 2 or 3 beers or 4? I've probably done that 1,000 times in my life. And you know it was just fine. So I got lucky. People get lucky.
Did Sark say this?
No.
You understand why I guess.
Yeah, I think he has more self-awareness than to say that.
I would hope, but like, you never know, man. Pretty big coach. You want to give me a conference?
Yeah. Yeah, so this was in the Big 12. He had another really famous rant in the Big 12.
Oh, Gundy. Yeah, Gundy. Yeah. I can, and now that you just said that, I can see Gundy saying it. The mullet guy. Yeah. Jim says from Blacksburg. This is 3 to me. Like, I hope that 4 is not crazier, but like admitting that you've driven drunk several times, which let's be very fair. A lot of people have done this, like, probably had 1 too many and then gone, you know, it's different. I'm not justifying it at all. But yeah, a lot of people could probably find themselves in that same boat and look back at choices they've made and said, like, this is pretty stupid. I shouldn't have done this. I'll make better choices in the future. To admit that at a media day, that's crazy. So yeah, that's a 3.
All right. So the last one, let's see. I think you'll probably know this one. The quote is, I don't cheat. I don't lie. If you did, my old man slapped me across the face. Maybe someone should have slapped him. And this is a coach talking about another coach in a recruiting feud.
I don't know the coach or the situation. How long ago was it?
A few years ago.
I'll guess Lane, but I really don't know.
So this was actually Jimbo Fisher talking about Nick Saban.
Oh, yes, yes. This was around media days too, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, I forgot. Oh, man, that got heated. Four's all I got left. But I might have flipped 3 and 4 just because that was pretty crazy that he said that. But I'm not too upset with how these came out. I think they actually worked pretty well.
I think the fact that Saban's the one who was comparing a loss to 9/11 in Pearl Harbor puts it the clear number one. And Dabo and Saban's, those are the clear 1 and 2, and the other three are pretty much interchangeable, I thought.
Yeah, I might. Talking about slapping Saban might actually be number three to me. But the DUI, the drunk driving is crazy too. And then the fifth one again, I would keep 5 for sure. So I think I did pretty well with that one. But all right, this is a ton of fun. I love ending. I really do. I look forward to the show. I do love ending the show with the blind rankings because it is kind of fun to just do something that is lighthearted and doesn't upset anyone. So if you're upset by that, then don't tune into the last segment next time we do a live show. But any shout outs or anything before we get out of here?
Shout out America for hosting the World Cup in what has been a phenomenal success. No matter who you talk to, this country did a phenomenal job. Great hospitality, amazing stadiums. Hearing everyone from outside of America talk about how great the country is and great the stadiums, how well of a job the country did hosting it. That's awesome. Everybody enjoy the kickoff here in about 59 minutes.
Yeah, shout out to FIFA. They have rigged this thing for Messi and Argentina the whole way, and I need them to do it one more time. So, but all the people who tune in and watch, I mean, I always want to give that shout out, whether you're just getting ready for the World Cup or whether you happen to have to work on a Sunday, which that's not my fault if you're having to do work on a Sunday, but I will at least shout you out for the work that you're doing. So appreciate you guys for tuning in, all of our friends and partners as well, and we will see you next time on Double Fries, No Slaw. Go Noles.